Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We have been hearing this story for decades. Tales about welfare queens, talking about takers, talking about the 47%. It's the story that is broadcast every day on some cable news stations. On right-wing radio, it's pumped into cars and bars and VFW halls all across America and right here in Elkhart. And if you're hearing that story all the time, you start believing it. It's no wonder people think big government is the problem.
So the shyster is on the run. The shyster's backpedaling. He's attacking because the American people are finally on to the fact that he has decimated the global order and has decimated America. And they're terrified of Donald Trump. The Witch of Warwick is giving a speech right now in San Diego where she will attack Donald Trump and say he is a threat to the world order. Well, guess what? We want the world order to be threatened. We don't want the world stepping on us anymore. We don't want to see our factories going to China and to Mexico. We don't want third world garbage running over this country. We don't want the military decimated any further. We don't want, well, the rest is history, stagnant wages, unemployment, especially among the poor. No, we don't want any of that. And she's giving a speech right now where she's going to attack Donald Trump and say that he's a threat to the world order. Well, of course, we want the world order threatened because Pax Americana is a dead duck. It's failing for all but the 1% class of Americans who have great amounts of money invested into the companies that Obama supports. Now, what is the global order that Donald Trump is going to upset? What is it built on? Open borders and free trade. We don't want free trade because it's not free at all. It's cost us millions of jobs. It's flooded us with low-wage, American-hating immigrants and has turned our military into nothing but a police force. And so we want change. That's exactly what we want. Incidentally, if you missed my interview with Donald Trump yesterday, which occurred in hour three, you're in luck today because I'm going to play a piece of it in hour one and a piece of it in hour two. Not simply to have you hear Donald Trump's voice, because news was made on this show. Didn't make it to any of the websites except WorldNet Daily, my good friends there. Trump to Savage, I'd rather face Hillary than Bernie. That's something that he said that you have to hear. But he said something else at the end of the interview that was out of the blue that you're not going to believe. And I'm not going to give it away, but you have to listen to the interview. Meanwhile, there was a lockdown at UCLA yesterday when a brilliant aeronautical engineering professor was shot down and killed by a piece of third world garbage, brought in no doubt because of demands of affirmative action. He killed the professor, shooting him in cold blood after killing his girlfriend in Minnesota, came out here and killed the professor. Diversity killed this great American professor. But what's even worse about that story is that this Indian gunman, Minak Sarkar, what's even worse is he's trying to steal the professor's reputation. The media has the nerve to publish this lunatic murderer's statement that the professor had stolen his ideas. This is after he had killed his girlfriend in Minneapolis. He had people on a kill list. He then drove out to UCLA and shot this Professor Klug. And this piece of garbage is taken seriously by the rats in the media, the same rats who have made him equivalent to the professor he shot. These are the same rats who are trying to run Trump off the rails. These are the same rats that should be investigated by the U.S. government when Trump takes over, because they're nothing but yellow journalists. You know what yellow journalism is? You know what the fifth column is? That's what we're looking at today. So this is a terrible story. Here's a Professor Klug, a married father of two children, a man who was a professor of aeronautical engineering, no doubt forced to take the student on because of affirmative action, this immigrant, And the student couldn't keep up, so he shoots the professor dead. And then the vermin, excuse me, the solenterates in the media have the nerve to publish what this lunatic murderer had to say about the professor as though there was justification for it. How can we survive a nation of fools? Now, there's a related story about third world garbage that Obama's flooding America with. Yes, I'll say it like it is. If you don't like it, turn the show off. Third world garbage. We are not getting the best of the third world. We're getting the refuse of the third world. You see, if they were really good, they'd stay in their own country and rebuild their country. But Obama's picking the refuse of the world and dumping the garbage on us. And we have to carry them on our back. Here's another one. Burqa-clad woman batters homeowner with U.S. flag. Okay? How many of you seen with the slits only? The hate slits. A woman clad in a burqa attacked a Georgia homeowner with an American flag that was flying in front of the victim's home, police allege. According to cops, Aisha Ibrahim, 30, emerged Tuesday morning from a wooded area adjacent to victim Dami Arno's home in Lawrenceville, a city 30 miles northeast of Atlanta. The homeowner said that Ibrahim, whose eyes were only visible because she had a burqa on, walked up to her mailbox and pulled the flag out of it. Then armed with the flag, which is attached to a four-foot-long PVC pipe, the Muslim in the burqa, Ibrahim, then advanced on the homeowner in a threatening manner, swinging the post and flag at her. As the homeowner's two children sought to help their mother, the Muslim in the burqa, Ibrahim, got one of her shoes off and struck one of the teenagers in the head. So then a neighbor enters the fight and was able to hold the Muslim in the burqa until the police department arrived. Well, the Muslim in the burqa, the hater, was arrested on a pair of battery counts, but she was not charged with a hate crime. To top it off, she gave the police a phony name, Amina Ali Hara. Of course she gave them a phony name. She was told to do it by her friends in the Muslim front groups who hate America. In a Facebook post, the homeowner expressed frustration that the Muslim in a burqa is not facing a hate crime charge. She wrote, "A Muslim woman tore my flagpole down this morning and attacked me and my daughter with it. After the fight, she was charged with simple battery. Two counts, nothing else, no hate crime, no destruction of property, no criminal trespassing, nothing, said the homeowner. In a post this morning, the homeowner uploaded a photo of a sweater-clad Fred Rogers with the caption, quote, "Mr. Rogers didn't adequately prepare me for the people in my neighborhood. That's because your neighborhood has been infected and invaded by a maniac in the White House, and it's going to get worse here. It's going to get much, much worse here because of the hater in the White House who is flooding America with the world's refuse. He is not bringing in the best and the brightest from these countries. In many cases, he's bringing in the worst he can find and dumping them all over America in order to upset the American order, you see. My friends, this is the Savage Nation. We have a lot to talk about on the show. These are just the opening program pieces. We will replay the Trump interview, part one in hour one, part two in hour two. Hillary is giving a speech right now. We'll tune into that for a while. We're going to talk about a strange topic, which is which company in America do you hate the most? That's a strange topic because I saw an article. This is the most hated company in America in the New York Post. And I read it quickly to see which one was hated the most. And it's a cable internet and phone company that I never heard of. It's a small cable internet and phone company. But I thought I'd ask you just for fun, which is the most hated company in America to you and why? Just a side note. Let's hear a drop of Hillary Clinton while we're waiting for the rest of the show to begin as the audience continues to come into the tent. Is she speaking? Where is she at, Robert?
That stands ready to shoot down a North Korean warhead should its leaders ever be reckless enough to launch one at us.
Oh, she's tough on international.
The technology is ours.
All right, let's stop. All right, so here's a woman who wrecked the world order. This is a woman who initiated the Arab Spring. This is a woman who cheered when Gaddafi was killed, even though he was warning the West that if they kill him, he said we will turn into a Somalia. And now we have a Libya in meltdown. We have a Syria in meltdown. We have an Africa in meltdown, all because of this woman who would be president, who is now talking about how great she is on national security. Does it get any better than this? that if someone like this can run for the presidency after destroying the world, how much worse can it get? Well, it can get a lot worse, believe me. Let's hear her again for a second on the Savage Nation.
We are envious of our alliances around the world because they have nothing to match them. They'd love for us to elect a president who would jeopardize that source
of
strength.
Here we go. Yeah.
If Donald gets his way, they'll be celebrating in the Kremlin. We cannot let that happen.
Okay, let's stop right there. So now the Kremlin is our greatest enemy. Here we are. Suddenly it's 1951 again. Our greatest enemy is now Russia, not Islamofascism. She is the most dangerous woman on the planet next to Angela Merkel. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage, 77 WABC.
We honor the sacrifice of those who died for our country in many ways.
Why
by
does
living
she talk
our values,
so slowly?
By making this a stronger and
why
fairer nation.
Why does she talk like a dumb
and
automaton?
And by carrying out a smart and principled foreign policy.
Stupid!
That's what I want to speak about today. The challenges we face in protecting our country.
Turn it off. I can't take it. You know why she's falling? Because she's a liar and she speaks like a dumb automaton, reading from a speech in a teleprompter. You know why Trump is rising? Because he speaks from the heart, period, end of story. As imperfect as he is, as vulgar as he can be, as aggressive as he is, the people love him. You know why? Because they're sick and tired of her. They're tired of Bill Clinton. They're tired of Obama, the America hater, and they want somebody to straighten this country out in plain English. That's all. Now, I'm going to play the Trump interview from last night, which, because most of you in some markets leave the show after 2 hours. You missed it. It was the way it was. It was the best interview yet. And it will put to rest the lie that is out there that Trump was ignoring the Savage Nation. He was not. And wait till you hear what he says at the end of the interview. It should put all of you haters to rest finally, but I don't think it will because the cyberbullies are out in full force. They work for the Obama and Hillary machine and the Sanders machine. Nevertheless, let's not worry about the cyber bullies. Let's go to Hillary Clinton live and let's listen to the, just for a minute, I want to see if I can take another second of it.
Understand Donald's bizarre fascination with dictators and strongmen who have no love for America. He praised China for the Tiananmen Square massacre. He said it showed strength. He said you've got to give
never did that.
Kim Jong-un credit
that.
For taking over North Korea.
Never
something
said
he did
that.
By murdering everyone he saw as a threat.
Right, now she's getting insane. Now she's saying things that Trump never said. You know, I don't mind that she's what she is, but when you invent stuff about somebody in a speech, that should be challenged. I'm sorry. Let's hear again what she's lying about. Just for the heck, she's giving this speech now.
For tyrants.
All right, I can't take it. I'm not going to listen to the college crowd of the Hooters. Filled with the feminists with tattoos on their bodies, hooting and whistling. I can't stand it, frankly. You know what? If she's their candidate, good for her. Let her go work for HBO and produce some series for girls. That's what she's fit for. When she loses the presidency, that's all she'll be fit for, is to write a few segments for girls. Maybe she can act in a few of them as the den mother. That's all. You know, many of you listened very carefully to yesterday's show. And you heard me say certain things, and I'm not going to repeat them, but my number one advertiser is Swiss America. Craig Smith is a friend of mine. He's been with the show for 15 years. And he said to me, Michael, I heard you yesterday. And he said, I want you to go to the Bible, which I know you believe in. And he said, look at Isaiah 54, chapter 17. I'm going to read it to you because it's very important. You know, when men went into battle in the past, they would be given a benediction by a priest on the battlefield. Did you know that? It gave them the strength to go out and face the enemy. I see it today in the boxing rings, mainly amongst Hispanic boxers. I'm always amazed how they'll cross themselves and get on their knees before a fight. And I see what the Solenterates in the press have done to soldiers today where they're not even allowed to read a Bible. Only burkas and whatever they read, I forget the name of their book. Only burkas and their holy book are allowed on the battlefield from the enemy. But Isaiah has an amazing statement before you go into any battle of any kind. Isaiah wrote, and he was a prophet. Let's say you don't believe in God. Let's say you're just an atheist, but you understand the Bible was written in your mind by the talk show hosts of the time. And Isaiah was a talk show host. Deuteronomy was a group of talk show hosts. Joshua was a talk show host. Samuel was a talk show host. You see what I'm saying? However you want to put it, just say it was a talk show. Jeremiah was a talk show host. Ezekiel was a talk show host. He wasn't a prophet. But Isaiah, let's say, was a talk show host in biblical days, and he said to the Jewish people who were constantly fighting for their survival, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their due reward from me, saith the Lord." Meaning, God will interfere against your enemies. You have God on your side. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, God will condemn them. That's what that piece means. And he said to me, "Michael, take faith in it, because you faced every challenge in the world from the day you started the radio, and everyone who has stood against you is now out of radio. Everyone who tried to stop you is gone." And he said, "I don't know how it happened. That's why I've been with you for 15 years. He believes in me so strongly. And the fact of the matter is, all I can say is I'm here." And that's it. Let's deal with it now. And let's deal with what we have to do now. What we have to do now is make sure that we expose Hillary for the horror show that she actually is. This is not the Rocky Horror Picture Show. This is the Rocky Hillary Picture Show. Here is a woman, the most flawed woman in American political history, surrounded by scandal, protected by the Solenterites in the media, who permit her to give a speech that is filled with lies without saying, "Mrs. Clinton, look in the mirror. Look at what you've done to the world order. Look how you have cavorted with the worst people on the planet to bring about the worst possible consequences, Mrs. Clinton. Tell us about the Arab Spring. Tell us how you feel ashamed for having destroyed Syria and destroyed Libya, Mrs. Clinton." But you won't hear that from Wolf Blitzer. He'll blink his way right to the bank.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Do you have 7WABC?
He has said that he would order our military to carry out torture and the murder of civilians who are related to suspected terrorists, even though those are war crimes. He says he doesn't have to listen to our generals or admirals, our ambassadors, and other...
Let's stop already, this Harridan. There's a word for her. You know, in common parlance in the street, or a filthy criminal liar. But since it's a national radio show, I won't call her that. We'll just say she's a rotten politician who gets away with murder, virtual the murder of a nation. She murdered Syria. She murdered Libya. And not one of the little boys in the media, not one of the Lilliputians, not one of the marionettes will challenge her on the Arab Spring. That's why America hates the press. That's why when Trump called one of them sleaze the other day, we cheered. We can't wait till they're in the caboose. And he is in the engineer's compartment. Now, Donald Trump was on the show yesterday. It was the best interview of all of them going back to 2011, or I wouldn't bother you with it. Let's hear the first part of Donald Trump on Michael Savage right now on the Savage Nation. Donald, thank you for being here on the Savage Nation. It's a great honor.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Donald, I have a couple of direct questions for you. Would you really build that wall? People are wondering if you've modified your stand on building the wall between us and Mexico.
No, I haven't. You need it. You know, I just was endorsed 2 weeks ago by the Border Patrol and 16,500 people. And I asked them the question. You know, they were up and it was an honor to be endorsed. They've never endorsed a presidential candidate. And I asked them the question. I said, "Let me ask you folks," and these are the people that really know better than anybody, "how important is the wall?" They said, "Very important, Mr. Trump. It's a tool. It's another tool that we use, but it maybe is the most important tool. And it's very, very important, especially in terms of drug traffic. We need the wall, Mr. Trump, 100%. So, you know, I'd like to get assurance, even though I want to do it anyway, but I'd like to get assurance. And getting assurance from the Border Patrol, 16,500 people endorsed me, and they said the wall was very important.
No, I agree, and they're great guys, and their hands have been tied by Obama. You know, what's interesting is since you came out with this whole program, even the Dalai Lama, a hero of the progressive left, came out yesterday and said that you cannot Arabize Europe. You're going to destroy Europe by bringing in all these Muslims from the Middle East. That's the Dalai Lama. Have you heard that, Mr. Trump? Have you seen that change?
But I've heard me, and I tell you, you're going to destroy Europe. Germany's going down. They're all going down. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable what's happening in Europe.
Donald Trump, would you fast-track the Keystone Oil Pipeline via executive order? America really wants it and needs it.
I will fast-track it. It's going to be done quickly. I do think we should make a better deal, though, because, you know, look, it's going to get done, but I think we should take a piece of it for the country. In other words, they can't do it without us. As you know, tremendous eminent domain. Remember what these guys used to say, but Trump likes eminent domain. But, you know, you wouldn't build 10 feet of the Keystone Pipeline, as an example, without eminent domain. You need it. But because we're using our powers and because without our country they can't do it, I think we should get like 25% of the profits going to the American people, in addition to getting it done. So let them pay a percentage of the profit to the, you know, to the American, reduce taxes, in other words.
The oil's coming from the Alberta tar sands going to our refinery. So you're saying take the profits from whom, Mr. Trump?
The people that have the pipeline, that own the pipeline.
I see.
The people that...
Well, look, I'm bringing up obscure points, but look, what would your first priority be as president? You must have organized your priorities. What's your number one item?
Number one would be knock out some of the executive orders from Obama, and especially the executive order on the border, which, as you know, is now all tied up in litigation.
Yes.
Where everybody can just come into the country like we don't have a border. That would be one of the first things. And lots of economic development jobs. I'd want to start Keystone right away. I'd want to start various other things right away. We need jobs. Other things is I'd contact countries and I'd say, folks, we love protecting you. We want to continue to protect you, but they're not living up to their bargain. You know, you're talking about billions and billions of dollars, Michael, numbers that you wouldn't even believe. But they're not living up to their bargain. And, you know, we cannot continue to be the policemen for the world. Now, I don't mind, but they have to pay. They have to pay. If you look at the NATO countries, they're not, 28 countries, they're not living up to what they're supposed to be living up to. They're not paying what they're supposed to be paying, which is very little, by the way. So what are we supposed to get into, World War III, over a country that doesn't respect us enough to even pay what they're supposed to be paying? So I do a lot of that too, Michael. We will become a very strong country again.
Donald, there's an article today that's so shocking. A baby born in the United States in New Jersey to a Honduran mom with Zika was born with a birth defect in Newark. They flew her in knowing the mother was infected with Zika. She went to Newark, New Jersey, delivered the baby. The poor baby has a birth defect. How can a country survive with a president who brings in diseased immigrants? This is not about compassion. You have to have compassion for the healthy population. Why is he doing this, Mr. Trump?
Well, is this a family that's now going to stay in the United States, I guess, right? They're not going to go back. Are they not going back to Honduras?
I guess they're using the whole family reunification program. And that brings us to the issue of what are we going to do with a system that is set up to fail like this? And I hope that you do build a wall, meaning I know you want to, but God knows you're going to hit opposition. I had a caller in the last hour who said, oh, I like Donald Trump on many issues, but I won't vote for him because he's so gruff. I said, well, take a look at what nice guys have gotten us. They've run all over us. They've made us into fools. We need someone who's tough, who knows how to negotiate with China and with Mexico, with South Korea and other places. Maybe I made some sense on that point, but I'm in favor of the tough approach in negotiation because nothing else seems to work, and I think you know that.
It doesn't work, Michael, and unless we're going to get smart, it's not even tough. We have to get smart, and we're being so stupid as what's going on. You look at our trade policies with China and with all these countries. We can't go on like this. We're losing a trade deficit with China, $505 billion a year. I mean, we can't go on like this. How is a country going to survive even like this? We're losing our jobs. Mexico's taking everything. Mexico's taking everything out. And they're taking our businesses, and China's taking our jobs, they're taking our money, they're devaluing their currency, and they're making it impossible for our businesses to compete with their businesses, and we can't go on like this. No, I'm not a gruff person. Hey, I went to an Ivy League school. I did very nicely. I'm not gruff.
All right, maybe they were talking about me. Maybe they were talking about me, but you're not going to make me your number one trade negotiator because I'm not looking for the job. Yes, you went to the Ivy League, and I went to Queens College. I understand.
Savage.
All right, that was the first part of a remarkable interchange between Donald Trump and Michael Savage. We'll play the second part in 1 hour on this program. I'm sure you're going to want to hear it because the end of the second hour, he says something as though he's talking to me just informally in a living room, two guys driving around in a car, and we're having a chat. This is why he's so appealing. Now, compare his ability to relate in this most direct manner to what you're about to hear coming from Mrs. Liar, the wooden speaker, reading from a teleprompter as slow as she can in order to make sure that the dumbest Americans can follow each and every word.
Donald Trump's ideas aren't just different. They are dangerously incoherent. They're not even really ideas.
Just shut up. They're very coherent. He'll build a wall, and he'll stop the Muslims from coming in, and he'll build a pipeline, and he'll charge China more money, and he'll charge Mexico for more money, and that's not coherent to you, you lunatic, you? No, apparently that's not coherent. I didn't mean to lose my temper, but sometimes even I have to lose my temper. Obama blames right-wing media for angering white people. You hear this? You talk about a deceitful man. Well, anyway, that's the what we're dealing with today. And if you can't comment on any of this, I pity you. 855-407-282. Brian, line one from Kern County, K-E-R-N. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I was calling today about the murdered UCLA professor and how the media tried to spin that right away.
This was a shocker. An immigrant from India who couldn't keep up with the engineering, aeronautical engineering, shoots the professor in cold blood, and the rats in the media destroy the professor a second time by saying he stole this kid's work. Because the lunatic said it, that's true already?
Yeah, it's exactly right. And I personally knew him in college at Westmont College in Santa Barbara. And his wife graduated with him. And the tactic character, this guy is the epitome of the American success story, rising up, finding something he loves and succeeding in it, and then giving back to the community he lives in now. And it's disgusting the way some people treat this as, oh, just another gun violence thing. This is not a gun violence thing. This has to do with a government that does not discriminate. You have to be discriminatory. When you get a lousy piece of meat from a steak restaurant, are you going to...
Amen. Amen. Obama's selecting the worst cuts from the slaughterhouse floor and throwing them into our hamburger. This is no longer a melting pot. He's turned it into a chamber pot, and I stand by my words. We've gone from a melting pot to a chamber pot under Barack Obama. You know, when I read that this professor was shot in cold blood, was a professor of the real McCoy. He wasn't a professor of Maya Angelou. He wasn't a professor of ethnic studies. He was a professor of aeronautical engineering, the best and the brightest. Can you imagine the years of sacrifice to become a professor of aeronautical engineering? So they're forced to bring in the third worlders into their department. The kid can't keep up. So he invents a story that the professor stole something from him. That's after he had shot his girlfriend, no less. And the vermin, the solenterates in the media have the nerve to repeat the lie of a murderer? It must be eating his family's guts out, Brian.
Exactly. It's sad. And when you don't, you allow people from certain Southern Asian religions in without vetting them out, without the, you want to become an American, you're going to get this because they do not respect our culture. They're not here to do that.
Now, I am reading that the murderer, Minak Sarkar, under religion, it says Hindu. Was he a Hindu, in fact? Does anyone know?
I've heard two things, that he's Hindu or Muslim. It's not quite clear.
All right. Thanks for the call, Brian. It's a terribly sad day in America. We lost a truly great American when this piece of trash took a 9mm pistol and shoots the professor after having first killed his girlfriend in Minnesota. It's sickening. It's just sickening to see a man who had his PhD in such a highly skilled field, And we see that the killer is now glorified by the rats in the media, or at least made to be equivalent to the man he shot down in cold blood. This is why America is dying. It's because of a lack of discernment on the part of the fifth column. I am Michael Savage. Whether you like it or not, here I am, and I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage, 77 WABC.
By telling hardworking middle-class families that the reason they're getting squeezed is because of some moochers at the bottom of the income ladder, because of minorities or because of immigrants or because of public employees or because of feminists or because poor folks who aren't willing to work, they've been able to promote policies that protect powerful special interests and those who are at the very top of the economic pyramid.
Look, you know, you could hear the voice, how weak it is. He catches his own lie. It's too much even for him. It was written for him by the Manchurian Candidate's writer. I actually don't want to call him the Manchurian Candidate. I'd rather call him the, I'll have to come up with the correct region of the world. I don't know exactly which one I want to use yet, but something along the lines of the Muslim Brotherhood's candidate. The Muslim Brotherhood's candidate of choice. You hear him catch his own voice as he's saying those things, because he knows it's all true. And then to top it off, he says, able to promote policy to protect special interests of those at the very top of the pyramid. Who is he spending his summer vacation with but those at the very top of the economic pyramid? Is he going to hang around with immigrants or poor or blacks or feminists? No, he's going to hang around with rich white guys in whatever the island they go to. It should only be Rikers Island, but it isn't. It should be Rikers Island, but it isn't. It's another island somewhere near Nantucket, which I always forget. Because it means nothing to me. Nothing to me whatsoever. So now it's right-wing radio is making stuff up. But no one can change the fact that Trump now has 100% recognition value around the world. Did you know that? A study was done. He has 100% recognition around the world. Did you know that? Virtually everyone in the world knows who Donald Trump is. And guess what? Not everyone dislikes him. What if I tell you that many Muslims like Trump? You know, there are Muslims who have been here quite a long time in America. I don't have to tell you that. And they're as loyal as anyone you could imagine, probably more loyal than some people or most people. I'm sure they don't like the crop of Muslims that are being brought in by Obama. They don't wear burqas. The Muslims who have been here don't wear burqas. They don't wear the garb of the Middle Ages. They recognize that by doing this, they are put in harm's way, by the way. We know that many Hispanics love Donald Trump for the reasons I've described before. And I dare say even African Americans like Donald Trump for reasons I've mentioned before. You don't have to call and say I'm one of the above and I like him. No, I get it. I know I have the best stethoscope of all of the social media doctors in the nation. I've always had the most accurate stethoscope. It's why I've thrived for all of these years. That's why we call it talk radio for the thinking person. I tend to skew with the smartest people in America. People who never listen to talk radio, who wouldn't waste a minute in the media, listen to this show somewhat regularly. I know that for a fact because I meet them from time to time. And I'm always amazed at their education and achievement level. We can't say that in general about all of talk radio. And I'm very proud of my audience. And it tells me an awful lot about their wants for America and their fears about what has been done to America. And they know what's going on. Now let me take a quick call. God, I wish I could get to this call. John on KSFO, make it as quick as you can. Great caller. Go ahead. Say your piece.
I'm an alumnus of UCLA, and this murder is just heartbreaking. There's some wonderful professors there. But this is partly what happens when you bow down at the god of diversity, as the UC system has done.
Bango. Right. Bring in more of them from the third world. Go ahead. More from the third world. That's what we need. More of the third world refuse, and you wonder why the system is dying. I'll be back in the second hour. Be here or be nowhere. I'm Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And the one thing I can promise you is if we turn against each other based on divisions of race or religion, if we fall for, you know, a bunch of okie doke, just because it sounds funny or the tweets are provocative, then we're not going to build on the progress that we started.
What progress? Okay, that's him stuttering yesterday as he tries to attack Donald Trump. We have a breaking news story. It's good and bad. A fighter jet crashed in Colorado Springs after a flyover at Air Force graduation ceremony where President Obama gave a speech, I guess debasing the Air Force and telling them that they need more diversity. But nevertheless, the Thunderbird, which is a, you know, beautiful group of people, they fly these jets that put on performances like the Blue Angels. Thunderbird's fighter jet crashed in Colorado Springs after flyover at Air Force. But the good news is the pilot, I don't know how he did this, is unhurt and walks away from a crash of an F-16. I never heard of this. How do you land an F-16 in a field that loses power and not die? They just performed at the Air Force Academy. The Thunderbird goes down, the F-16. The pilot walks away from it. Now, I'm looking for who the pilot was because I'd like to hire him. If I needed him, I'd like to look. He's the kind of pilot I like to see in the cabin of a commercial jet when I walk on. And I look into the pilot's compartment. That's what I like to see. I tend to have a certain bias towards certain type of pilots. Yeah, I do. I don't like affirmative action in the pilot's compartment, if you don't mind, nor in the surgical ward. The Thunderbird's website says Plane 6 is flown by Major Alex Turner. He earned his commission in 05 and has logged over 1,200 flight hours as an Air Force pilot, with more than 270 combat hours over Libya and Iraq. Well, given that he's logged over 1,200 flight hours as an Air Force pilot, that would be 1,200 more flight hours than the Secretary of the Air Force that Obama appointed. She has zero flight hours as an Air Force pilot since she's never flown a plane. She's basically a, what do you call those guys who sit there eating pizza? Air traffic controller? Remember that? Yeah, she's an air traffic controller. He made her the chairman of the Air Force, and people wonder why Obama's so unpopular in the military. Major Turner is in his first season with the team and hails from Chelmsford, Massachusetts. Then they say, however, officials haven't identified the pilot who was flying the jet that crashed. They just identified him. Then they said they didn't. Wow, the Denver Post is really doing a great job. Really terrific job out there in Denver. Now, in the second part of this hour, we're going to play the second part and final part of the interview with Donald Trump that I conducted last night. Many of you missed it because you were preempted by the geniuses who run your station. Apparently, they don't like Michael Savage very much. They like to cut me off after 2 hours and put people on who wear various and sundry costumes, apparently. But anyway, those of you who didn't hear it are going to hear it in this hour. Let's go to Dina on No, I don't want to go to ABC. I don't want to go to KSMO. I don't want to KCMO. I don't want to go to... I was in the streets last night of North Beach after my show was over. I went to a club that accepted me as a member to have a drink and eat some appetizers. Put on the old club jacket, the suit, the pin, the tie. Met my friend, Dr. S. And then we went down to North Beach to have dinner in an Italian restaurant. And we're coming out of the restaurant. A beautiful young family says, "Oh, my God, I can't believe it. We came all the way from Chicago. We were going to go eat on Fisherman's Wharf because we hear you like that restaurant." I said, "Hey, I haven't eaten on Fisherman's Wharf in 5 years. Not since Joey died, I haven't been in that place." He said, "Well, we're so lucky to run into you." He was a guy who was nicest kid, looked like the young man who works for me, married to a Ukrainian girl, no comment, and had a beautiful child. And the Ukrainian wife, the mother was with them. He was so thrilled to meet me that I let him take a selfie with us. And he said, they moved you in Chicago. I said, I have no control over that. Talk to the program director. You guys have to understand something. I don't pick the stations I'm on. It's an honor to be on the stations I'm on. It's up to the brilliant people who program your local station as to who puts me on and how long they run me for. So if you're happy with it, you should tell them you're happy with it. That's all. If you're not happy with it, tell them you're not happy with their decisions. Don't ask me. All I do is talk. I'm only the talker. This is not a clothing optional talk show. I actually get fully clothed to do this show. And if you care to comment on the Savage Nation, the phone number is 855-407-2282. Here's a call that I think we should take, which is Samori on line 7 from WABC. Please make your point, my friend.
Yeah, I want to say that the people, the Mexicans, when Donald Trump referred to the Mexican as taking our jobs, I don't believe that's the case. I believe the corporations in these countries are the ones who are sending the jobs, sending good American manufacturing jobs to Mexico. The average Mexican just trying to get a job themselves down there. They're not, they have no say-so over which corporations bring jobs from America.
Well, I think you're right to a certain extent, and Donald Trump has said that. It's moving the factories to Mexico to get workers to work at a lower rate that he wants to change. He said that. He's not blaming the Mexicans, per se. He's blaming the corporations who are moving the companies. I think he mentioned a refrigerator company, whose name I forget, is moving their Carrier Air Conditioning, moved their whole plant from the United States of America to Mexico. He condemned that. He says he wants to punish them and all the other American companies who are doing this and make them come back here. So in a sense, you are correct. However, on the lower end of the labor force, my friend, you have to see who's doing all the labor in America. I don't care where you go. Now, the fact of the matter is that's because most Americans won't do those jobs. That's a fact of reality. I didn't say all won't. But I know who's building the houses. I look at houses going up. They're almost exclusively Mexican. And they're quite skilled, by the way, as skilled laborers, incidentally. Because I watch houses go up from the foundation through the finishing work. And I listen to the workers, and they're very good workers. They're very hard workers, and they're doing the jobs because the contractors find able-bodied workers from Mexico, El Salvador mainly. And they work. They work like I've never seen anybody work. Now, will Americans do those jobs? Yes. Can Americans do those jobs? Who built the houses in America before the Mexican invasion? Who was doing the drywall work before the Mexican invasion? Who were the carpenters before the Mexican invasion? Who were the plumbers before the Mexican invasion? Who were the roofers before the Mexican invasion? So, yeah, there are Americans who can do these jobs. It's just that the contractors can get the Mexicans at a lower rate, in plain English. Who do you blame for that? I don't blame anybody. I don't blame the Mexican. I don't blame the contractor. What are you going to do about it? People want to make a profit, and they're going to do whatever they have to do to make the best profit they can. So what do we in America do with regard to the loss of jobs in contracting, in construction? I don't have an answer to that. I don't have an answer to the labor issue. I do have an answer, which is Donald Trump's solution to moving factories overseas, whether it be to Mexico or anywhere else, which is you make it economically disadvantageous for them to move a factory to Mexico or anywhere else. You want to save money, Mr. Carrier Air Conditioning? You want to move your company from an American state? You want to fire 5,000 or 10,000 Americans? And you want to move it to Mexico to squeeze out more profit because the hedge fund that took you over wants you to do that? I'll tell you what, we're going to punish you so you can't do that. We're going to make an incentive for you to keep your company here, by the way. There are many things that can be done through taxation to prevent companies from bleeding factories to other countries. That's the solution. 855-407-282, Todd on WJR in Detroit, one of my favorite areas of the world. You're going to call about Carrier Air Conditioning. Tell us what you have to say here.
I heard Carrier is leaving America because the EPA is being used as a weapon against them to stranglehold the company, and they can't make any money, so they're taking off.
Interesting. So the EPA drove them out of America. There's one of Obama's job-killing agencies that should be eliminated under Donald Trump. I think that we should export everyone in the EPA to Mexico or to China, wherever they like to go. Give them a one-way ticket. Every worker in the EPA should be given a one-way ticket out of America and let American businesses thrive. That would be a good solution. In addition to punishing companies that go abroad, I think we ought to deport everyone in the EPA and let them go to the countries where they're sending the factories. That's a solution, isn't it, Todd?
That's absolutely right. have them go work in those.
Listen, I'm a great supporter of environmental protection. I have been from the beginning of my conscious years. I have always been a great conservationist. And I've put myself on the line for conservation going back 40 years. Nobody has to lecture me about clean airs, waters, and places. I've worked at it all my life. But the EPA is perhaps the most job-destructive, environmentally destructive organization ever created by a government. It's a Frankenstein. They push green energy without analyzing how green energy itself is causing pollution and damage to wildlife. For example, the solar plant in the Las Vegas desert, funded by Obama's Energy Department and EPA, I believe. I don't know who gives. I think it's the Energy Department. Tied deeply to politicians here in San Francisco and their families, is producing so much heat above the mirrors in the solar plant that they're literally burning birds right out of the sky. And these are the things that have to be looked at. You call them unexpected consequences. Well, I don't know whether they're unexpected, but if you build solar mirrors in the desert and it's producing 2,000 degree heat and it's killing birds in the sky, then what you got to do is understand that there are damages being caused by your green madness, okay? Thanks for the call. Now, when we come back, I'll take some more calls, give you the latest news. Phone number is 855-407-28 to play additional sound. And then at 34 minutes after the hour, we play the second and most important piece with the most surprising ending of any Donald Trump interview in the history of his presidency. And I'm not using hyperbole. Listen to what I just said to you. Trump says something to me at the end of the interview that he has never, ever said to anyone else who has ever interviewed him. It's a news story, and it's the most conversational thing between two guys, one a presidential candidate who just might be the future president of the United States, and a humble talk show host. You'll never believe what he said. You have to hear it. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey.
Savage, 77 WABC.
We're stronger when cadets like Wasim Sumro and Ismail Bayoumi and James Salem know that we celebrate their service as proud, patriotic Muslim Americans who are also serving in our armed forces.
Shove it. Go shove it, you Muslim Brotherhood front. Why is he always pushing Muslims everywhere he goes? Can't they just serve in silence like everybody else? I don't hear him singling out the Christians or the Jews. Always peddling the Muslim thing. I wonder why he's so defensive about that, about forcing Muslims into the Air Force Academy. What's that about? Speaking of the diversity push, which is already reaching the nausea point, you know the bathroom issue, right? Are you ready for this one? It's gotten so nauseating, the transgender attack upon our sanity. Listen to the story carefully before you react quickly with your little cyberbully fingers. ACL leader quits. ACLU leader quits. She urges a transgender compromise after men entered her daughter's restroom. The head of the ACLU in Georgia has launched her own advocacy group because she can't explain to her daughters why the ACLU is forcing communities to open women's bathrooms, locker rooms, and changing rooms to men who claim to be women. Until her resignation, Ms. Smith was one of only three African-American directors of the ACLU. Ha! So there's a twofer. There's a twofer for Obama. My children were visibly frightened, concerned about their safety, and left asking lots of questions, which I, like many parents, was ill-prepared to answer. In other words, she couldn't tell them why men with loud voices were in girls' bathrooms. So here is an African-American woman at the ACLU who quits because her children have more sense than she does. Maybe the children can save America. Maybe the parents of liberals, maybe liberal parents are so stupid and have so lost their way that their children can save us. The website features a video of a young black girl saying, "I don't want to be uncomfortable in the boys' bathroom either. I don't want them to be uncomfortable anywhere, but what about me too?" Can you believe this? Smith, listen to this, said this is a woman who ran the ACLU in Georgia. Smith said the ACLU is no longer an organization that supports all rights, but has evolved into a, quote, special interest organization that advocates only for certain progressive rights, Listen to this. The now former ACLU chief also charged that the ACLU tailors its activities to satisfy the progressives who are funding the group's lobbying activities. At LifeSite News, a transgender activist viciously condemned Mrs. Smith. The biological male claims to be a woman named Cheryl Courtney Evans called Dillard Smith a, quote, lazy and ill-educated woman. He also called her a B-I-C-H who needs to, I don't know, I can't read the acronyms. She also sounds like a TERF, he said. Trans-exclusionary radical feminist. Look, I can't follow the insanity of our times, to be honest with you, but I'm glad that children are smarter than their liberal parents. Because the transgender bathroom issue will be Obama's singular disaster, the biggest singular disaster that he's remembered for, since Obama's May 13th decree, forcing 100,000 public schools to implement pro-transgender policies or risk lawsuits by the fascist federal government. This decree is intended to do one thing, which is to force 55 million K through 12 children to give up their sexual dignity and their sexual privacy in bathrooms and locker rooms just to validate the feelings and status of a minute percentage of confused youths who are confused into believing they belong to the other sex. And already 11 states have joined Texas in a lawsuit against the fascist Obama administration for imposing this unconstitutional decree upon them. Just yesterday, the state of Kansas also announced it will take legal action against Obama over his transgender insanity. Did you know that? So the progressives in this country are not equal opportunity progressives. They're a very tiny band of the American population who are trying to rule by fiat, using the courts as weapons against our very sanity. And I think they've just gone a little too far this time. I think the transgender bathroom issue will be the undoing of the fascists who call themselves progressives. We've put up with it from the top to the bottom. Affirmative action in hiring, in scholarships, in promotions and companies. This is the last straw. It's Obama's final legacy.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
On WABC.
No wonder that people think that the deficit's gone up under my presidency when it's actually gone down. They did a survey. A lot of white Americans think reverse discrimination is as big a problem as discrimination against minorities.
It is against white people, you liar, yo!
It's white unemployment. And the typical Hispanic woman makes 55 cents for every dollar a white man earns. And they're only...
Did you hear that? Did you hear what he just said? A typical Hispanic woman makes 55 cents for every dollar a white man earns. Now, a typical Hispanic woman, all due respect, has not been in the nation as long as a typical white man who's been here for generations, and the white man might be working at a more skilled job than a typical Hispanic woman, because so far as I know, a typical Hispanic woman has an education level commensurate with the amount of money they are earning, as does the white man. So this race baiter is now using the big lie over and over again. Like Goebbels said, if you tell a big lie over and over again, it will become the truth. But it's no longer the truth. Now, I want to go back for a minute to the transgender insanity. An Oregon law was passed and allowed a sick jury to award 60,000 smackaroos to a transgender teacher. Why? Not because anyone picked on the teacher, but other teachers declined to use the teacher's preferred pronoun, which is they rather than him or her. The school had to pay $60,000. The criminal regime in New York City, the pay-for-play regime, has also established similar forced speech rules. Sick Canada is preparing a law that will punish people who argue against the transgender ideology. They're demanding the gender identity. Gender identity requires individuals to ignore millions of years of evolution, millions of years of common sense, A boy is a boy, a girl is a girl. Every animal on earth understands that. Every human being understands that. Muslim, Hindu, Jew, Christian, Zoroastrian, atheist, everyone knows what a boy is and what a girl is, and everyone knows there are gay people, and there are people who are confused about their sexuality. We all know that. Never before has it become a criminal act to know what reality is, except under this twisted sister in the White House, who has now forced this down the throats of America. It's gotten so bad that it is now an offense in Washington State to ask a man in a woman's bathroom. He could be just a grown man, a thug. If you ask him if he thinks he's a male or a female, you committed a crime. So if a pervert goes into your daughter's bathroom, and he's just a pervert, and you have a cop go in there and ask him if he's a male or a female, that's a lawsuit now, all because of the sick, twisted man in the White House. It's just getting crazier by the day. It's gotten so crazy that even the ACLU leader in Georgia quit because her children, African-American head of the ACLU, said that her daughters were freaked out by men inside their restrooms. And so she quit. She's leaving the ACLU. The ACLU, as you know, is a criminal organization posing as a legal group. And when Donald Trump becomes president, they need to be given a fair trial. The leadership needs to be given all due process and put before a jury for what they have done, the kind of money they've taken illegally against people. And after this trial, they need to repatriate the ACLU. They need to also take back all the money they've stolen over the years, if it means selling their houses, their cars, seizing their assets and selling them off and giving it back to the people who have been damaged by the criminals in the ACLU, who have used the law that they've written, the laws they've written, and the lawyers they've hired to browbeat people, to steal their property, steal their ranches, steal their dignity. When Donald Trump becomes president, there will be payback. They all know it. And that's why they're running scared. That's why he will be president, because we the people want the payback. We want to see all the Marvins in the ACLU running for the nearest airport, running as quickly as they can to get out of America because they don't belong here. They never did. They are not Americans. They've used the kindness of America, the decency of America, the Christian charity of America to destroy this country. And they've profited greatly. Look at the houses that they own. Have you ever looked into the salaries that the Solenterites who run the ACLU, have you looked at their salaries? You think they're doing it because they believe in what they're doing or because they found a way to hurt everybody using various weapons against us? That's why Trump is thriving, rising. He will make up for the years of abuse that we have all suffered. I mean, I'm telling you this from the heart. I know what's going on. I know why he's surging. I don't need to read the ACLU. I don't need to read ABC's website to know why he's surging. I don't need to consult with a consultant as to why Trump's popular. They're all geniuses, all the idiots who put him down and now working for him. I love that one. So yesterday he was on the show, and you probably missed it in certain markets, because the brilliant people who run your station would rather have me off the air after this hour than on the air. And they're very smart people, as you well know, and they took me off the air after a certain point. And so I'm now going to help you by listening to the next president of the United States pay particular attention to the last few minutes of this interview, because it's news-making, even though it didn't make it to the Drudge Report or Breitbart or Newsmax, because they're all part of the same establishment, and I'm not a part of that establishment. I am a party of one, according to the New Yorker, and I'm proud of it. Listen carefully. Donald, thank you for being here on the Savage Nation. It's a great honor.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Donald, another quick question that's so important to the audience, which is not only the wall, but it's Hillary Clinton. Who would you rather face, Hillary or Bernie?
Well, I think in terms of winning, I think it's about the same. He's got a little more of a movement. I think that, you know, she's been around a long time, but, you know, she's done a lot of bad things. I think in terms of winning, I think that really it's going to be similar. I think once you expose him for what he is, it won't be hard beating him. But I think that I would probably prefer running against Hillary, because I'd love to beat her. I think that beating her, she's made so many mistakes. Her judgment is so bad. You know, Amen. You look at just what Bernie said about her. Bernie Sanders said she's got bad judgment. He actually said she's not qualified to run because her judgment is so bad.
Donald, I would say the number one reason not to vote for her is her failure as Secretary of State. She was the one who pushed the Arab Spring that caused the refugee nightmare that the world is facing. She owns the Arab Spring. She trumpeted the Arab Spring. She killed Gaddafi. She saluted the death of Gaddafi, and look what happened in Libya. She owns that. How can anyone not see that? I don't understand it.
Well, you know, you look at what's happened in Libya. You look at what's happened so many other places, and all she does is she... And look at her emails. Talk about judgment. Look at the email situation. What a disaster that is. And anybody else would have been in jail by now.
All right, so is it clear that Hillary actually, in your opinion, you're so close to the inside now, the Republicans seem to have awakened to the fact that you are the candidate and they're coming around. Is she really going to be the candidate, do you think, or they're going to run someone like Biden?
Well, I think what happens is, I think it would be tough to put Biden in, but I think what, and I wouldn't mind running against him either, by the way, but I think what happens is that she seems to be protected by the Democrats. You know, if you look at General Petraeus and these others, they went through hell. They destroyed their lives over much less than what she's done. So I think she will be protected. She's protected by the Democrats. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a big, big topic of conversation. Big, big topic.
Well, she's also, she owns the press, Donald. As you well know, you're the only one who has the nerve to attack them. I've said over and over on this show, they are the reason America's in the trouble that it's in. They have enabled this criminal, these criminal acts to go on. They've attacked anyone who actually stands up for America. They seem to sneer at anyone who wants to make America win again. You know, I was on a TV show last week, and a guy said to me, why do you support Donald Trump? He wants to make America great again. What does he want to do, take us back to slavery and the Great Depression? I said, what, are you crazy? What does that have to do with today? And you know, that's how crazy they are in the press. This was a major league guy who said he was your friend, Donald. I swear to God. He said, what, does Donald want to take us back to slavery? I said, what, are you nuts? This is what we're dealing with.
This was somebody that said he was my friend. That's interesting. I'd like, am I allowed to know who it was? That's amazing.
I'll tell you what. I will email Hope Hicks the interview and the name. He said, I like Donald. He's my friend. But where does he want to take us? Back to slavery, the Great Depression, where women can't vote? I said, what, are you nuts? How could you bring him up? How could you say he's saying that? This is the kind of absurd argument that we're getting from people who really have it in for this country, Donald. I faced it for 20 years. You're facing it now for a year. It's sickening, frankly.
Well, one of the great things that I witnessed yesterday firsthand by myself, I contributed a lot of money and raised a lot of money for the veterans, $5.6 million. Now, that started off as a little tiny amount of money, and it ended up being a lot of money. $5.6 million may go higher than that. And instead of being like, you know, great job, the press, I mean, the publicity I was getting over that money was incredible. I raised this money. I didn't have to. I was under no obligation. I was making I said, let's see what we can do for the vets. So I raised all this money, almost $6 million. And right. I'm telling you, the bad publicity I get on that. Now, I think the vets understand and the public understands, but the press is so dishonest, I cannot even believe it. I can't believe it.
I saw what they did. They tried to take something as beautiful as giving the veterans groups almost $6 million and make it into a negative when they've done nothing but run the veterans off the highway and throw them into the ditch. Donald Trump, I'll let you go. Look, the people really love you on this show. They are your core base. And they've missed you for the last month. I got to tell you, I hope that you find more time to be with us on the Savage Nation. Anytime, you are always welcome.
Well, I have to tell you one quick story. Mrs. Annenberg from Los Angeles, one of the most respected women in the country, a tremendously successful woman, an unbelievably wealthy woman, I will say. She was with me the other day, and she said, I love the Savage Nation. That's what she told me, one of the most... Probably, like, you never saw this woman is an amazing woman. And
I know the name, the Annenberg name, of course. They're old school. They're the elite of this country. I understand that. I don't even know what she must listen to me on the internet.
She listens to you, and she listens to you all the time, and she's probably listening now, but she came up to me. It was at a big group of very, very successful people, and she said, Mr. Trump, I love you because I listen to you on the Savage Nation. I love Michael Savage. And I said, I'm going to tell him you said that. So it's Mrs. Annenberg. You know who that is. That's the elite. There's no question about it.
Oh, absolutely. That's absolutely true. When my ancestors were coming over, not on the Mayflower, she was already here. All right, Donald, thanks again for being with us. Don't forget me on Inauguration Day. I want a ticket with an umbrella.
I promise. I will never forget you. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks. Thanks very much. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, you heard it yourself. Now, there's so much depth in what happened in the last 2 minutes of that interview that it's worth discussing. First of all, he asked me, who was it who said those things about him? Did you catch that? When I said I was interviewed and the guy said, where does he want to take us back to slavery? And I said, Donald, he says he's a friend of yours. He said, wait, who was this guy who says he's my friend who said that? Am I allowed to know? Did you hear that? Now, what presidential candidate in history would say to a mere talk show host something as direct and as honest as that? Like conversationally, man to man, as though we were talking in a restaurant somewhere. He says, wait, someone who likes me said that? That's something you'd say to a friend. So he speaks to me the way he speaks to the American people, which is directly and from the heart, without any BS. There's no filters between him and reality. That's A. Then he goes into the fact that he was in L.A. with a very prominent woman. I know they were doing a huge fundraiser. And she said, I love the Savage Nation. Now, what's interesting about that is I'm blacklisted in Los Angeles for reasons I will not go in. I am blacklisted on KABC. I'm blacklisted by the other liberals who run radio in Los Angeles, despite the fact that I have a huge following in Los Angeles on the Internet. The geniuses in the radio business in Los Angeles are so threatened by my message that they will not have me in that market, and yet somehow I'm listened to. You see, the world is no longer dependent upon those glistening, powerful radio towers. There are other ways to hear people and get their message, and whether they're rich or they're poor, they are listening to various and sundry individuals in radio, and I was pleased to hear that a woman who is actually the I don't want to say the equivalent of. She's in the league of Nancy Reagan. Mrs. Annenberg is the living embodiment of the Reagan principles. Did you know that? I don't think you know who they are, but her father, I believe she is the daughter-in-law. I don't know the whole story, but I know that I looked her up on the Internet. And certainly the Annenbergs are amongst the most important conservatives in the history of America. Wonderful people, great philanthropists, and I know that this Mrs. Annenberg, by the Internet report anyway, is very interested in the area I'm interested in, which is protecting endangered animal species. Did you know that? So I asked Donald's assistant to send my email to her. I don't know if she ever got it, but I'm going to ask her again because when I'm in L.A. next week, and I will be in Los Angeles all of next week, that's my plan, broadcasting from down there because it's the primary. And I'm going to be visiting certain people and having maybe some special guests on. And I'm going to be showing Teddy and me to people who are very interested in this book. They want to do a movie about Teddy. They say that Teddy is the new Lassie. Anyway, I want to meet with her and see if we can join forces in protecting the elephants and the gorillas from the evildoers in the human species. This is Michael Savage. If you want to comment on the Trump interview, we'll have about 2 minutes left and then an hour longer. Right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage, 77 WABC.
All right, another Air Force crash, two in a day now. We told you about an Air Force jet, the Thunderbird, crashing after a commencement flyover attended by Doofus in the White House. Oh, he had nothing to do with the crash, don't get me wrong. But coincidentally or not coincidentally, a Navy Blue Angels plane just crashed as well in Tennessee, Smyrna, Tennessee. Navy Blue Angels, Thunderbirds. These are both showcase squadrons of the best pilots in the world to show how great the Air Force is. This investigation should be taken away from the Air Force, which has been politicized beyond recognition, putting a woman in who can't fly a plane. This investigation of these crashes needs to be conducted. I don't know by which agency hasn't been infected. Maybe the FBI is still rather capable. I don't know. I would hope so. And I would begin by looking at the maintenance squads for these important squadrons. I'd like to know who was put in there. I guarantee you that the mechanics who are working on the Blue Angels jets today are not Eddie. I can guarantee you that they're not Eddie from World War II or Korea. Let me put it to you that way. And I'd start right there on the maintenance rack. That's where I'd go. I'm Michael Savage. Common sense prevails. Be here or be nowhere.
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We live our values when our military, like America itself, truly welcomes the talents of all people. We're stronger when our gay and lesbian cadets and troops can serve their country.
Can you believe
a country
this?
They love without hiding who they love.
Can you believe that this man would go to this level, to a fighting machine, and talk to them about diversity again with gay and lesbian, putting that above defeating ISIS? Do you understand how sick this is? Do you get it? I don't know. Maybe I'm the last man standing. I could be the only one left in America who even understands what's going on. I think everyone else is on vacation. After Memorial Day, the brain goes dead. They're asleep now till Election Day. Vacations, graduation, candy corn, hot dogs, Disneyland. I don't know where America is, but you know what? If I have to be the last man who's conscious and speaking out, so be it. Welcome to hour number three, where the last man conscious and speaking out is conscious and speaking out. And we'll talk about the topics of the day. Planes are going down, and he's talking about how wonderful the Air Force is because of Muslims, gays, and lesbians. You hear? Instead of talking about great American Air Force fighter pilots of the past in a commencement speech. Instead of not making it about his sick agenda. Instead of not making it about himself again and pushing his radical agenda. He would be talking about, if I were him, I'd be talking about great Air Force heroes of the past. The adversity they faced, how they overcame it, what they did in combat. The heroes, the aces. Instead, this throwback, I don't have any words for it. I would say retrograde is the best word for Obama. He is a retrograde of the lowest order. It's as though we got a college teacher from some junior college in some obscure place, way past his pay scale, who was thrown into the presidency, was never qualified, doesn't understand the first thing about his duties as a leader. Not the first thing. And he pushes this little agenda day and night. Diversity, 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 diversity. While abusing a taxpayer every which way he can to Sunday. But if I were to spend the rest of my career in radio, however it may be, however long it may be, talking about Obama would be a waste of my time. I'm looking forward, not backward. And that's why I staked a lot of my career on Donald Trump before anyone else in the media did. I backed him before anybody else. I take credit for helping him get where he is. And I'm very proud that he came on the show yesterday. And not only did he, in his own way, say things that I never thought I'd hear come out of his mouth, but he showed a certain characteristic that I sensed was true about him. Remember I said to you he never forgets his friends and he'll never forget his enemies? Remember I said that? Remember at the end of the interview, I said to him, Donald, when you're inaugurated, I want you to please hold a seat for me and an umbrella. And did you hear what he said, the last words on the show? He said, I'll never forget you, Michael. That means he never forgets his friends. But earlier in that interview, I told him that a man who claimed to be his friend said to me during an interview on television, worldwide television, he said, I'm a friend of Donald. But where does he want to take us back to slavery? You remember what Donald said? Wait a minute. Who says he's a friend of mine and asked you that? May I know who that is? He said that on my radio show as though he was talking to a guy, just a guy, me. Meaning he'll never forget his enemies. And that's what I want in a leader. Because you know what? They're all the same. Any man who gets to that position, even nice Obama, that nice guy, you know, that nice thin guy with that beautiful family, he's about as vicious as they come, but he's the best actor that's ever inhabited the White House. So he would never say a thing like that, like, who said that about me? He would never say that, but Trump will because he's naked. In many ways, he's just naked. He's out there. Yeah, he'll never forget his friends. And I guarantee you he'll never forget his enemies. I'm the same way, by the way. I'm the best friend a man could ever have. I go out of my way for people who are my friends. I always have. but I never forget people who insult me. I have a memory that never forgets 30 years. Never. Never. People who disrespect me or people who take my great work and try to run it off the rail, I don't forget them. I just wait. I wait and I wait and I wait and I wait, and the time comes, and usually I don't have to lift a finger. It just happens. That's what I've seen. And that's the kind of man I am. You know why? Because nobody gets anything in life unless they're like that. Don't let anyone fool you. Don't let anyone kid you. Yeah, they don't care what anyone says about them. They're lying. They're lying through their teeth. Everyone cares what people say about them if they're in the public sphere. Donald Trump's the only one who admitted it. That's why we love Donald Trump and why we hate other politicians. That's all. Hour number three, Savage Nation. Callers now. Let's go to KKAT in Utah. Taylor, welcome to line four. What's on your mind, my friend?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about why the military is having all these accidents lately. It's because of military budget cuts. The military is struggling to keep their equipment up to a performance standard, and that's why lately you've been seeing issues going on with the military, such as accidents such as in Hawaii and the ones that happened today that you're talking about.
No, we had two jets, one in the Thunderbirds, the other in the Blue Angels, crash in one day. So, okay, I accept that it is a maintenance issue, that Obama's cut the guts out of the military budget in order to give it to his friends in the green gangster world and in other cronies of Obama. But I also suspect that as a result of certain social policies, we are not getting the most committed people in certain levels of the Air Force and military. Would you disagree with that?
I would disagree. I have friends in the Marine Corps as well as in the Air Force, and they're great individuals. And the people that I see working with them are great individuals. The problem comes down to there's no money being spent on the military. Back in about February or March, there was an article that came out in the Marine Corps Times where the Commandant of the Marine Corps speaking to Congress, and he states that two-thirds of the Marine Corps' F-18 planes are not operational at this time because they don't have the money to repair them and to keep them operational.
Well, in order to open more transgender bathrooms, you have to close down the fighter jets. In other words, if you need a transgender bathroom across America, you can't have fighter jets that are operational. You got to get your priorities straight if you're a crazy man. And if you're a crazy lunatic in the White House, you put transgender bathrooms above everything else. That's all. All right, my friend. Copy of Teddy and Me for a Father's Day going out to you. I hope you enjoy it. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. We can talk about any other topic you wish. There isn't a lot of news out there other than jets are falling out of the sky now, and Obama's pushing the wonders of gay and lesbians in the military and Muslims. I mean, are they mutually exclusive? I don't really know. Elite U.S. military jets, two crashed today. Two. A new Blue Angels went down in Nashville, and the Thunderbirds went down in another state. And he's lecturing the Air Force about the wonders of diversity at the same time this is happening. I don't know if they have anything to do with each other. I doubt it. But the man is out of control. I don't want to talk about it. I'm sick of it. Here's another story. You ready? Paul Ryan backs Trump. Oh, terrific. That is so good. Maybe Paul Ryan now can wipe the cornflakes off his face. Huh? That's a little inside joke. Burka-clad assailant beats victim with American flag. Not a hate crime, though. Not a hate crime. No, no. Hate crimes can only be conducted by Caucasians, according to the psychos who run the United States of America. And then in UCLA, I told you that story. It's a tragedy. Here's a man who's a real professor of aeronautical engineering, I believe, which is about as tough as it gets. It's not ethnic studies. It's not American studies. It's not a fake field like sociology. It's the real McCoy. And the professor is shot in cold blood by a third worlder, Manak Sarkar, a former doctoral student. Now, that's the worst part of it so far. He kills Professor Klug, in the UCLA engineering building. But worse than that, the lowlifes in the media, especially the rats at the LA Times, they're making me sick, are repeating the big lie of what the psycho who killed the professor said. They're repeating the lie that they're saying the professor, according to the killer, took something for his notes from him and stole his computer code. Why would they repeat a lie from a maniac? Do you know that they killed Professor Klug twice? Because police in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, found the Indian murderer's girlfriend dead He killed Ashley Hastie before driving to Los Angeles to kill Professor Klug, and they're putting what he said about Professor Klug in the newspaper as though it's true. This is what we mean by why we hate the media. This is what we mean by why we want them stopped. This is what I mean by all the years I've told you that America has been destroyed from within by the fifth column. It's a story like this that shows you what I'm talking about. Why would they take a lie from this failed student from India who shot his professor in cold blood and put that in the news as though it's the truth when he was known to be a deranged homicidal maniac? It just shows you the low level of so-called journalism in America. I am so proud that I am not a member of the Society of Professional Liars. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. We've all known that liberals are basically fascists. Everyone's known that. They're not nice guys. They're very evil, every one of them. And here's further proof to the fact that liberalism must be fought tooth and claw or you will lose your, literally your freedom. Here's the headline, just came out, landmark California bill would allow prosecution of climate change skeptics. Now, never in American history has the debate of an issue resulted in the criminality of a participant until now under the fascists calling themselves liberals. And that is because there is so much money in the green racket. It's run basically by a green mafia. The green mafia controls the newspapers. The green mafia puts in the so-called progressive liberal politicians. And just as the five families in the past had their, remember the Godfather? We have people in the newspapers, don't we, Howie? We have people in the, who do we own? What is his name? Congressman X and Y? Well, now they are making so many billions of dollars in the climate change racket that even debating the issue would be a crime in California. Lawsuits against fossil fuel companies, think tanks, and others that have, quote, deceived or misled the public on the risks of climate change. The first of its kind legislation, Senate Bill 1161, or the California Climate Science Truth and Accountability Act. It's a complete opposite. This is out of the Soviet Union. I write about it in Government Zero. I talk with you about Lysenko and how he was a fraud as a geneticist. A fraud who was used by the Soviet government, who lied about genetics in order to promote the idea that the agricultural plans of the Soviet Union were superior. They were not superior. They were inferior. And they criminalized anyone in the Soviet Union who dared debate Lysenkoism. This California Climate Science Truth and Accountability Act of 2016 is scheduled for floor action Thursday after clearing the criminal Senate committees in April and May. The measure would allow state and local prosecutors to pursue claims against climate change skepticism as a violation of the state's unfair competition law, as well as extend the 4-year statute of limitations for such claims, going back retroactively, by the way. This bill would explicitly authorize district attorneys and the attorney general to pursue claims alleging that a business or organization has directly or indirectly engaged in unfair competition with respect to scientific evidence regarding the existence, extent, or current. I don't want to read anymore. Whoever is writing this law is a criminal. Whoever is writing this law should be investigated by the new Justice Department when the house is clean. When Donald Trump becomes president, the new AG should go and investigate everyone in the Senate of California who voted for this. Anyone who wrote this measure should be investigated for ties to the Green Mafia, and they should be adjudicated accordingly. This is a criminal act. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. It violates every tenet of America. And yet it is now going to become law as a result of the fascist criminal environmental groups. The bill is a clear effort to ban not only free speech on climate change, but is also going to ban science itself. Here's another one for those of you who are watching with horror, the meltdown of America under this faker in the White House. Yale students. See, once they let the... I'll just read it. Yale students. Studying white male writers creates a culture hostile to students of color. So, in other words, William Shakespeare is now a threat to a student of color because he can't read English. I mean, how much further does it have to go until you recognize what's happening? Let me read it again. Yale students studying white male writers creates culture hostile to students of culture. Do you understand what they're saying? That'd be like saying studying electrical engineering creates electrical engineering is hostile to students who can't study electrical engineering. They don't understand mathematics, so therefore mathematics should be now considered illegal. Okay, what can I say to you? You want to live in this country? You created it, not me. I fought it every tooth and nail for 20 years. But you want me to talk a little bit about white male contributions to the world? I'd be glad to do it. I'll compare it to any race on the planet. How you want to do that? Let's compare white male inventions to every other race on the planet. Okay, let's just see how that goes for a while. I mean, maybe it will offend you. Obama blames right-wing media for angering white people, so why not talk about this topic? It's still legal to do so. I'm very happy to talk with you about the wonders of Shakespeare, because from my point of view, Shakespeare is superior to Maya Angelou. Maya Angelou, the former hooker, is now revered on college campuses because she is not a white male. And so, therefore, she must be a genius just for not being a white male. And so, if you want to look into Shakespeare compared to Maya Angelou, I'd be glad to do it. Very happy to do it, incidentally. We can compare any of his sonnets to that of the gibberish being passed off as literature today. So this is what happens when a society is in decline. This is what happens when you let desperate, rotten individuals take over the universities and take over the political world. ACLU leader quits over trans fight. Now, she's a black lady. Her own daughters were frightened by deep-voiced men in the toilets, in the bathrooms. Again, because of the psycho in the White House who has sued schools across America. Now, this is it. I don't know if you can comment on this. Let's take some calls on these topics. WFTL and I don't have the time right now. We got FTL, SBA, KSFO, TMA, KVOR up in Colorado Springs, talking about the Trump interview, talking about science, talking about the F-16s that are going down. Yeah, lots of good stuff. The Secretary of the Air Force has never flown an airplane. She's a glorified air traffic controller. Isn't diversity grand? If Obama was Commander-in-Chief in World War II, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Yesterday's show, and you heard me say certain things, and I'm not going to repeat them, but my number one advertiser is Swiss America. Craig Smith is a friend of mine. He's been with the show for 15 years. And he said to me, Michael, I heard you yesterday. And he said, I want you to go to the Bible, which I know you believe in. And he said, look at Isaiah 54, chapter 17. I'm going to read it to you because it's very important. You know, when men went into battle in the past, they would be given a benediction by a priest on the battlefield. Did you know that? It gave them the strength to go out and face the enemy. I see it today in the boxing rings, mainly amongst Hispanic boxers. I'm always amazed how they'll cross themselves and get on their knees before a fight. And I see what the vermin, excuse me, the Silenterates in the press have done to soldiers today, where they're not even allowed to read a Bible. Only burkas and their holy book are allowed on the battlefield from the enemy. But Isaiah has an amazing statement before you go into any battle of any kind. Isaiah wrote, and he was a prophet. Let's say you don't believe in God. Let's say you're just an atheist, but you understand the Bible was written in your mind by the talk show hosts of the time. And Isaiah was a talk show host. Deuteronomy was a group of talk show hosts. Joshua was a talk show host. Samuel was a talk show host. You see what I'm saying? However you want to put it, just say it was a talk show. Jeremiah was a talk show. Ezekiel was a talk show. He wasn't a prophet. But Isaiah, let's say, was a talk show host in biblical days, and he said to the Jewish people who were constantly fighting for their survival, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their due reward from me, saith the Lord. Meaning, God will interfere against your enemies. You have God on your side. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, God will condemn them. That's what that piece means. And he said to me, Michael, take faith in it, because you faced every challenge in the world from the day you started in radio, and everyone who has stood against you is now out of radio. Everyone who tried to stop you is gone. And he said, I don't know how it happened. That's why I've been with you for 15 years. He believes in me so strongly. And the fact of the matter is, all I can say is I'm here. Let's deal with it now. And let's deal with what we have to do now. What we have to do now is make sure that we expose Hillary for the horror show that she actually is. This is not the Rocky Horror Picture Show. This is the Rocky Hillary Picture Show. Here is a woman, the most flawed woman in American political history, surrounded by scandal, protected by the Solenterites in the media, who permit her to give a speech that is filled with lies, without saying, Mrs. Clinton, look in the mirror. Look at what you've done to the world order. Look how you have cavorted with the worst people on the planet to bring about the worst possible consequences, Mrs. Clinton. Tell us about the Arab Spring. Tell us how you feel ashamed for having destroyed Syria and destroyed Libya, Mrs. Clinton. But you won't hear that from Wolf Blitzer. He'll blink his way right to the bank. So here's a woman who wrecked the world order. This is a woman who initiated the Arab Spring. This is a woman who cheered when Gaddafi was killed, even though he was warning the West that if they kill him, he said we will turn into a Somalia. Now we have a Libya in meltdown. We have a Syria in meltdown. We have an Africa in meltdown, all because of this woman who would be president, who is now talking about how great she is on national security. Does it get any better than this, that if someone like this can run for the presidency after destroying the world? How much worse can it get? Well, it can get a lot worse, believe me. Meanwhile, there was a lockdown at UCLA yesterday when a brilliant aeronautical engineering professor was shot down and killed by a piece of third world garbage, brought in, no doubt, because of demands of affirmative action. He killed the professor, shooting him in cold blood after killing his girlfriend in Minnesota, came out here and killed the professor. Diversity killed this great American professor. But what's even worse about that story is that this Indian gunman, Mainak Sarkar, what's even worse is he's trying to steal the professor's reputation. The media has the nerve to publish this lunatic murderer's statement that the professor had stolen his ideas. This is after he had killed his girlfriend in Minneapolis. He had people on a kill list. He then drove out to UCLA and shot this Professor Klug. And this piece of garbage is taken seriously by the rats in the media. The same rats who have made him equivalent to the professor he shot. These are the same rats who are trying to run Trump off the rails. These are the same rats that should be investigated by the U.S. government when Trump takes over, because they're nothing but yellow journalists. You know what yellow journalism is? You know what the fifth column is? That's what we're looking at today. So this is a terrible story. Here's a Professor Klug, a married father of two children, a man who was a professor of aeronautical engineering, no doubt forced to take this student on because of affirmative action, this immigrant, and the student couldn't keep up, so he shoots the professor dead, and then the Solenterites in the media have the nerve to publish what this lunatic murderer had to say about the professor as though there was justification for it. How can we survive a nation of fools? Now, there's a related story about third world garbage that Obama's flooding America with. Yes, I'll say it like it is. If you don't like it, turn the show off. Third world garbage. We are not getting the best of the third world. We're getting the refuse of the third world. You see, if they were really good, they'd stay in their own country and rebuild their country. But Obama's picking the refuse of the world and dumping the garbage on us. And we have to carry them on our back. Here's another one. Burqa-clad woman batters homeowner with U.S. flag. Okay? How many of you seen with the slits only? The hate slits. A woman clad in a burqa attacked a Georgia homeowner with an American flag that was flying in front of the victim's home, police allege. According to cops, Aisha Ibrahim, 30, emerged Tuesday morning from a wooded area adjacent to victim Dami Arno's home in Lawrenceville, a city 30 miles northeast of Atlanta. The homeowner said that Ibrahim, whose eyes were only visible because she had a burqa on, walked up to her mailbox and pulled the flag out of it. Then, armed with the flag, which is attached to a 4-foot-long PVC pipe, the Muslim in the burqa, Ibrahim, then advanced on the homeowner in a threatening manner, swinging the post and flag at her. As the homeowner's two children sought to help their mother, the Muslim in the burqa, Ibrahim, got one of her shoes off and struck one of the teenagers in the head. So then a neighbor enters the fight and was able to hold the Muslim in the burqa until the police department arrived. Well, the Muslim in the burqa, the hater, was arrested on a pair of battery counts, but she was not charged with a hate crime. To top it off, she gave the police a phony name, Amina Ali Hara. Of course she gave them a phony name. She was told to do it by her friends in the Muslim front groups who hate America. In a Facebook post, the homeowner expressed frustration that the Muslim in a burqa is not facing a hate crime charge. She wrote, "A Muslim woman tore my flagpole down this morning and attacked me and my daughter with it. After the fight, she was charged with simple battery. Two counts, nothing else, no hate crime, no destruction of property, no criminal trespassing, nothing, said the homeowner. In a post this morning, the homeowner uploaded a photo of a sweater-clad Fred Rogers with the caption, quote, "Mr. Rogers didn't adequately prepare me for the people in my neighborhood. That's because your neighborhood has been infected and invaded by a maniac in the White House, and it's going to get worse here. It's going to get much, much worse here because of the hater in the White House who is flooding America with the world's refuse. He is not bringing in the best and the brightest from these countries. In many cases, he's bringing in the worst he can find and dumping them all over America in order to upset the American order, you see." I actually don't want to call him the Manchurian candidate. I'd rather call him the, I'll have to come up with the correct region of the world. I don't know exactly which one I want to use yet, but something along the lines of the Muslim Brotherhood's candidate. The Muslim Brotherhood's candidate of choice. You hear him catch his own voice as he's saying those things, because he knows it's all true. And then to top it off, he says, able to promote policy to protect special interests of those at the very top of the pyramid. Who is he spending his summer vacation with but those at the very top of the economic pyramid? Is he going to hang around with immigrants or poor or blacks or feminists? No, he's going to hang around with rich white guys in whatever the island they go to. It should only be Rikers Island, but it isn't. It should be Rikers Island, but it isn't. It's another island somewhere near Nantucket, which I always forget. Because it means nothing to me. Nothing to me whatsoever. So now it's right-wing radio is making stuff up. But no one can change the fact that Trump now has 100% recognition value around the world. Did you know that? A study was done. He has 100% recognition around the world. Did you know that? Virtually everyone in the world knows who Donald Trump is. And guess what? Not everyone dislikes him. What if I tell you that many Muslims like Trump? You know, there are Muslims who have been here quite a long time in America. I don't have to tell you that. And they're as loyal as anyone you could imagine, probably more loyal than some people or most people. I'm sure they don't like the crop of Muslims that are being brought in by Obama. They don't wear burqas. The Muslims who have been here don't wear burqas. They don't wear the garb of the Middle Ages. They recognize that by doing this, they are put in harm's way, by the way. We know that many Hispanics love Donald Trump, for the reasons I've described before. And I dare say even African Americans like Donald Trump, for reasons I've mentioned before. You don't have to call and say I'm one of the above and I like him. No, I get it. I know I have the best stethoscope of all of the social media doctors in the nation. I've always had the most accurate stethoscope. It's why I've thrived for all of these years. That's why we call it the talk radio for the thinking person. I tend to skew with the smartest people in America. People who never listen to talk radio, who wouldn't waste a minute in the media, listen to this show somewhat regularly. I know that for a fact because I meet them from time to time. And I'm always amazed at their education and achievement level. We can't say that in general about all of talk radio. And I'm very proud of my audience. And it tells me an awful lot about their wants for America and their fears about what has been done to America. And they know what's going on. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So listen, my board operator and producer, am I allowed to say it, Robert? He will not be with us tomorrow or for a week. He's getting married on Saturday. Young man who has the guts to be a man. He knows who he is. Marrying a lovely, lovely woman. He's leaving tomorrow for a week. And, of course, that leaves me in limbo. But, okay, whatever. And, Robert, we wish you the best of luck on the journey that you're taking with your new wife. God bless you. God bless you. It's the right thing to do. You're doing the right thing. You're a real man. You know, I was going to close with this story, but I don't know if I have the guts for it. Murder victim's father goes nuts on serial killer in court. I just came out in the New York Post. I put it on michaelsavage.com. Now, the racial element is important because both the victim was black, the father who attacked the killer was black. The guy's getting sentenced, this serial murderer, the father of a woman killed by a convicted sex offender. He's supposed to get up the father and give a victim impact statement. He turns to the killer, who gives him a malicious smile, like, I killed your daughter and I loved it. This poor guy, you want to see pain? Take a look at this guy's face. Look at the pain in the father's face. The agony. You want to look at human agony. Look at the face of the father whose daughter was mutilated by this piece of garbage. So he's giving a victim impact speech, and the killer gives him a smile, a smirk. He leaps across the desk and tries to attack the piece of garbage. And, of course, sheriff's deputies swarm the poor father. And the cowardly attorneys jump out of the way. And then cops drag the father out of the courtroom. And that's that. But I'm saying the agony on the man's face. No doubt the vermin lawyer will call it a mistrial for some reason now. The garbage lawyer did not even use a defense that he didn't do it. No. No, the lawyer said that the crimes are committed because of the man's abusive and chaotic childhood. You hear this? By that definition, everyone should be free to do anything they want. Anyone had an abusive and chaotic childhood out there, like everybody, in some way? I mean, you didn't have a childhood is called chaotic, incidentally. Children lead chaotic lives. Childhood is chaotic. So that's an excuse not to murder somebody? Anyway, the face on the father is the point of the story. There's no one responsible for it. It's not about Obama. That's not the point. I'm saying if you want to see the face of human agony, look at the face of the poor father before he leaps at the garbage, the killer garbage. Anyway, what can you do? Let's pray to God that no one in the world has to face what this man is having to live with from the time he found that his daughter was raped and murdered and killed by that animal, okay? Now let's go to michaelsavage.com for some really cheerful stories. Diversity killed great American professor. That's my headline. Trump to Savage, I'd rather face Hillary than Bernie. Great interview. It's written up by World Net Daily. Here's another nice story for you. A burqa-clad woman batters homeowner with U.S. flag, not charged with hate crime. Michael Savage nominated for National Radio Hall of Fame. Michael Savage's great book, Teddy and Me, will make a perfect Father's Day gift. That's all. Michael Savage's book on diseases without borders, which made it to the New York Times bestseller list. It's an inexpensive e-book. Will help you actually take control of your own immune system instead of going for a drug. Maybe you could do something way beyond vitamin C. It's all in there. Here's another happy little story. Here's a threefer now on panel, the fourth panel down. Here's a threefer. Somali Muslim war criminal now working security at Dulles International Airport. Thanks, Obama. Obama taps yet another Muslim Brotherhood-linked official to the prominent White House role. Thanks, Obama. Harvard hires Iranian regime supporter who warned of Jewish threat. Thank you, Obama. Black Lives Matter leader charged with sex trafficking, also an alleged charity scammer. Thanks, Obama. What can't I blame him for? I'm trying to find a story that he's not related to. Here's one. Obama bringing in Zika-infected pregnant women. Oh, thanks, Obama. Mastermind behind Hillary's email server won't answer questions. Thanks, Obama. I'm finding a story there. There's no Obama in it. I'd read it if I could. All right, tomorrow is another day. It's summertime. Most people could care less about all of this. That's all. Go enjoy a hot dog and potato chips.